Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It is Tuesday. It is Rosh Hashanah here at Oswego State University and live from WNYO Studios. It's the Tuesday edition of Sports Hour. I'm Aaron Valentino, and today is a very special episode of Sports Hour. No Brandon Ladd. He left for an orthodontist appointment. You guys were supposed to audibly all laugh at that as soon as I said that. Brandon Ladd left for an orthodontist appointment. So today, probably for the first time in a while, all four seats in this studio are filled today. Of course, I am here in the board seat. And with me is three members of my sports board, Joey Palatsky, Liam Godimer, and Jared Wakefield. Guys, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Great. We're it takes all three of us to try to fill Brandon Ladd's shoes. They're really big shoes, but it's going to be a great show with all four of us in here today.
Yeah, certainly, Joey. It's going to be a great show. We get to talk about the Mets and the heartbreaker that happened yesterday, whether their playoff hopes are done or not. And certainly the Yankees have to bounce back after yesterday's performance, too.
Got
to
relate to Brandon Ladd a little bit. I've got my retainers in right now, and those orthodontist appointments are not fun.
No, orthodontist appointments are the absolute worst. I remember going to – I hate – wearing that stupid retainer every night.
It sucks.
And the only reason I wear it is because one day, if I ever have a television career, I'm going to need the teeth to be straight and not have, you know, braces on at one point in my life. That's the only reason. That's the only motivating factor to wearing the retainer.
I couldn't do orthodontist appointments when I was younger. I have a really bad gag reflex, so I never did braces, none of that.
Really?
I couldn't.
No braces?
Couldn't. Nope.
That's rare.
Couldn't.
Wow.
That's good lucky. For you, man. You are lucky, I have to say. The braces were bad news. Bad news bears.
You are very lucky, Joey. I made my trip back to the dentist over this summer. Had a root canal. I don't know if any of you have ever had a root canal.
Yikes.
It was painful that day, and it was painful the ensuing 2 weeks afterwards. Yeah. So hopefully, lad's not going through that.
Have you guys gotten your wisdom teeth taken out yet?
No, and it's starting to give me problems because like some of the back ones are getting real close. And it's like, man, we got to go. But now we're in the semester. Like, I can't do it now. If I do it now, there goes my whole semester. We're done.
Yeah, I haven't had my wisdom teeth taken out yet, and I'm scared for the day that it's going to come.
Yeah, it has not happened to me either, but again, like Aaron, I'm dreading it. So.
Yeah.
Turning into the teeth hour here, boys. Yeah. 3 minutes in.
Yeah. Joey, did you change the header in the rundown?
No, sir, I didn't.
Who changed that? Was it you, Jared?
I didn't touch it.
That was actually me. You know,
really?
I added an underline. Yeah. It's just a reflex at this point. You know,
just sports hour.
Just a force of habit.
That's a force of habit.
We have a lot to get into today. The Mets was an absolute heartbreaker yesterday. Yesterday, Ladd and I talked about Aroldis Chapman. Today, we're going to talk about the Queens closer in Edwin Diaz, whether or not he's been good or bad this season. Plus, the Yankees, they lost 8-0 yesterday. Still, just a half game up on the Red Sox. Plus. Last time Joey Palatsky was here, we had a horrible trivia segment. But since it's week one of the NFL heading into Thursday, we have some NFL trivia questions for the guys. I've got some actual good ones today, which I'm pretty excited to get to. But before we get to that, let's get into what happened last night or yesterday, as it was Labor Day. Most teams played during the day. The New York Mets, it looked like they were on their way to a solid victory, and they end up losing. Edwin Diaz blows it in the ninth. The Mets, instead of beating the Nationals 4-1 in a five-game set, they beat them 3-2 in a five-game set. They lose, Liam, yesterday on a walk-off single, 4-3.
Yeah, it's just an inexcusable loss all the way through. And the problem with Edwin Diaz, ever since the Mets acquired him, even going back to his time in the American League with the Seattle Mariners, has been his control. And that story did not change in yesterday's game. Just did not have any control of the plate. He walked the first man that he faced, Alcides Escobar, on four pitches. You can't do that in a one-run game. And you're asking for trouble. And, you know, he lost that game even if Escobar did not touch home plate. And I don't know if you saw that, Aaron or Jared or Joey, but he did not touch home plate on that last last run.
Mm-hmm. I watched that live on my computer. I was doing the hot corner. I didn't see that.
So basically, he came around third base, slid home, and just completely missed it. His hand did not touch the plate. Just his body just went over home plate, and James McCann stepped on home plate. Obviously, a crew chief review then ensued, and I guess there was not enough evidence to overturn the call, and that's why the run stood, and the Nationals ended up winning on the next batter.
Jared, it's just such a bad loss, and they had a chance to be three games back of the Braves heading into the series against the Marlins. Now they're four games back. We're going to talk a little bit today about a scenario of them having possibly win 18 games, maybe even more. But just the bad loss yesterday and Edwin Diaz. You know, he had been on a streak. He'd been on a hot streak, and yesterday it blew up at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, that's really been the story of Edwin Diaz. I'm looking at some stats here. His FIP, fielding independent pitching, actually isn't bad. It's 2.58. But compared to his ERA, which this year has been 3.93, that's actually a pretty sizable difference. So
yeah, that's 3.93 is like his career ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's had about an average. But I feel like, you know, it's the non-save situations where the bulk of those runs have come from. And, Joey, it's just a similar story with Edwin Diaz that it is a role to Miss Chapman. They can't bring him into non-save situations.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely terrifying, when, especially here yesterday, getting into the ninth inning in a one-run game. You need to have a reliable guy in the back end. And neither teams in New York right now have that. But, I mean, props to the starting pitcher yesterday for the Mets. That was Trevor Williams, 5 innings, 10 hits, 2 runs. Let a lot of hits up, let a lot of guys on base, got in and out of jams real well. And then, I mean, the rest of the bullpen was really solid. It was 4 innings. 1 hit and no runs between Familia, Hand, and Lugo, but the most solid man in the bullpen's got to be the closer, and Diaz didn't get the job done.
And Diaz didn't get the job done yesterday. Just, you know, seeing the four in the games back comp compared to the three, for some reason it just, like, it sinks your heart.
You know what?
It's really sad.
You know why it hurts a little bit, Aaron? Because the last series of the year is against the Atlanta Braves, and you want to be 3 games or less back heading into that series, and just the four just doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The four just does not feel right. They still have 3 games left against the Miami Marlins. They went on a 15-game stretch against the Marlins and Nationals. They've played well for the most part, and now they enter the final stretch of those games tonight against Miami at 6:40. The New York Mets play tonight. And the New York Yankees yesterday, Joey, they got walloped. They lose by a final score of 8-0. They've now lost 3 straight games, just a half a game up on the Boston Red Sox for a second wild card. And not to say this as well, the Mariners, Athletics, and there's one other team, the Mariners, Athletics, and Blue Jays, the team they're playing tonight, they are coming right behind them.
Yeah, but I mean, yesterday for the Yankees was just abysmal. I mean, Jameson Taillon had a tough first inning. I believe he gave up 2 home runs in that first frame, but finished with 7 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned. So after that first inning, it was really solid. I don't know why we're still throwing Brooks Kreske and Andrew Heaney coming out of the bullpen. I mean, we were down, I believe it was 3-0 yesterday going into the eighth or ninth frame, and we're pretty much throwing in the towel by putting Brooks Kreske out there. And I mean, they're just giving up on the baseball game.
Yeah, Jared. I mean, it's just that was just a bad game yesterday for the Yankees. They won 13 in a row, then they lost 4 straight. They won 1 in between that, but now they've lost 3 straight again. The Yankees just can't seem to, you know, continue to play great baseball all the way through.
Yeah, that's really been the struggle for the Yankees the past few years. They've had a boatload of talent. I mean, you cannot say.
Truckloads upon truckloads of talent. You cannot say
that the Yankees have struggled for players like you could argue the replacements did for part of this year.
Yeah.
It's not really a money problem. It almost feels similar to the Mets situation, and I'll add to the wild card thing. I'm looking at the stats here. I wouldn't count Oakland out of that battle either in an AL West team. 3.5 games back, and they always come on hot in this August-September stretch.
Yeah, the AL wild card race, Liam, is getting really fun really fast. And whenever the Mariners are involved, for me especially, Jared will get the feeling of the John Boyce documentary on them. It's always fun to see the Mariners start winning ball games.
Yeah, definitely. There's no story that I'd like to see come to fruition than the Mariners finding their way into a playoff spot. But, boys, I think the team that the Yankees have to worry about really bearing down on them are the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, if you look at their lineup and you compare the Yankees and the Blue Jays lineup, they're not too far off. They got some heavy hitters each, and you combine that with Robbie Ray and the season he's had. He's a Cy Young candidate, may even win the Cy Young if it wasn't for Gerrit Cole. But, yeah, this is a huge series for the Yankees. You cannot lose 2 out of 3 of the Orioles and then lose to the Blue Jays in the subsequent series.
The Blue Jays are the team in this, if the Yankees end up in this AL wildcard game, the Blue Jays are the team that scared me the most, honestly, just because of Robbie Ray. If it's a one-game wildcard in the Bronx or in Toronto, wherever it is, I mean, I'd rather face Chris Sale than Robbie Ray right now. I'd rather face Robbie Ray than Chris Sale right now.
That's...
Because Chris Sale's been coming. I mean, ever since coming off injury, he's been real solid. But Robbie Ray's been real solid all year long. I mean, the guy, every single time he goes out there, I mean, he had 10 strikeouts in his last outing. He's just been shoving every time he's out there. And in a one-game playoff spot, the one thing that matters the most is who you're putting on the mound. And if they put Robbie Ray out there against Garrett Cole, he might shut down the Yankees' bats.
Blue Jays are definitely a scary team, especially with that lineup that they have there. But the Yankees, they have a man they haven't had in a long time in the postseason. And his name, in a normal postseason, that is, and his name is Garrett Cole. I think the Yankees will be perfectly fine if they make it to the postseason. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the New York Mets. We'll talk about Edwin Diaz. We'll talk about Mike Puma of the New York Post proposing an interesting proposal on how many games the Mets need to win to make the playoffs. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 889, the Laker Radio Network.
Let me take my bracelet off.
You want me to forget you? Okay, forget me too. You tell me you hate me, baby. Yeah, I bet you do.
And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Jared Wakefield, Liam Gadamer, and Joey Palatsky here with you on this Tuesday. Brandon Ladd, he is off and home. A little forget-me-too. This is my song lately. I don't know why I've been feeling this song so much lately. And I actually like the Halsey part on this song better than the Machine Gun Kelly, but I don't know why.
It's been out a year and a half at this point.
I know. I don't know. It's like anything. It's like, you know, songs that you haven't heard in a while, and then you just, like, hear them again, and you just feel it for a couple weeks.
His rock album was really good, though.
Yeah.
It was a really strong album.
Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly, he's great. He's very solid. But, yeah, no Brandon Ladd. No Jake Johnson, either. The only two members of Sports Board not here today are Jake Johnson and Brandon Ladd, because they are off in their homelands. Jake's actually, I think he's driving home as we speak. He's coming home. He's going to call the game for TOP tomorrow, the men's soccer game tomorrow for TOP with Mike Gross. We'll have that game covered for you as well over on Stream 2. Very exciting stuff with live sports coming back and all that. So the New York Mets, they lose an absolute heartbreaker yesterday by a final score of 4-3. And, you know, it was a game that you really would have liked to see them win for the sole fact that they had a free half game. They could have been three games back of the Braves heading to a series against the Marlins. They would have beat the Nationals 4-1 in a five-game set. And Joey, they just couldn't get it done yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a tough day for the Mets. If you want to look on the bright side, they got the series win. They won 3 of 5 in Washington, D.C. They got out of there with the series win, but playing from behind, now getting into we're early to mid-September right now. Games like that, when it's up in the air, you got to get the job done.
Yeah, simply put, games in the middle of September against teams that you are much better than and are at the bottom of the division, you have to win a majority of those, and the Mets were able to do that, but 3 out of 5, it's just simply underwhelming as a Met fan. And, you know, with games coming up against the Yankees and the Cardinals, schedule doesn't get easier at all.
Yeah, their schedule is interesting because obviously we have the three games against Miami, but if you've watched any NL East games, you know that Mets and Miami games usually are a little closer than you want them to be.
Yeah, it's always funny because, you know, you go into that series with some confidence, like, oh yeah, we're playing the Marlins, and then you just remember that the Mets never seem to beat the Marlins when it, like, matters the most. And, you know, so going into a three-game set and, you know, a big pennant race. It is a big year for the Mets. I mean, new ownership. They faced a ton of adversity, and now they're in a playoff race. So three more games against the Marlins to try to get it done. Yesterday, I mean, Mets fans were coming for Edwin Diaz's head again yesterday, which is just unbelievable. Edwin Diaz on the year, a 0.4 WAR, 3.93 ERA, 28 saves, 79 strikeouts, a WHIP of 1.145. But here's something interesting. The Clem Report of Barstool pointed something absolutely fascinating out today on Twitter. Edwin Diaz's home and road splits, like, he described it as going from rookie to legend mode on MLB The Show. And it really, I mean, it really is like that. Edwin Diaz at home this year has an ERA of 1.59. Edwin Diaz on the road has an ERA of 7.71. That is a dramatic difference. He hasn't given up a home run at home all year. He's given up 3 on the road. He's given up 18 earned runs on the road, just 6 earned runs at home all year. They're hitting 300 against him on the road, Liam. I mean, it's just unbelievable the difference. I didn't know that was the biggest problem with Diaz this year.
Certainly, yeah. And, you know, we've seen ever since Edwin Diaz came over in the infamous trade, right, with Robinson Cano for Jared Kelnick, who's now the top prospect for the Seattle Mariners, now in the major leagues. We have seen that he has had struggles on the road. And I think that's because when Edwin Diaz is at home and he's at Citi Field, he feeds off the energy of the fans and, you know, is able
And Blaster Jacks.
Yes, and that as well. And when he's on the road, I think the pressure just seems to build up. And in Washington, there aren't a lot of great memories for Edwin Diaz. He has blown leads there on many of occasions. So it happens. That is a stark difference in ERA between home and away. You want to see it improve, but for right now, that's just a pitcher that Edwin Diaz is.
It's an interesting one for sure, because, I mean, when we first got Edwin Diaz, it almost seemed like it was the opposite. He could just not pitch in Citi Field. I mean, he struggled overall, but especially at home. A lot of his most excruciating losses came in Citi Field. So it's interesting to see how that dynamic has changed and how the enigma of New York sports fans can really have a huge effect on a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the guy's just getting better sleep in his home bed. I mean, yeah. Who knows what it is? It's not a minuscule difference. 1.59 to 7.71, and the opponent batting average is 142 to 298.
I know.
There's something there.
The hitting 300, the people hitting 300 against him on the road is just absolutely staggering to me. And I'm looking at Edwin Diaz's numbers here. ERA plus, this is very fascinating to me. ERA plus in 2019 was 74. He was bad, and we knew he was bad, and the numbers show that he was bad. In 2020, I think a lot of people thought Edwin Diaz was bad. His ERA plus that year, 244 with a 1.75 ERA. Granted, again, that's an inflated number because of the 60-game season. This year, a ERA plus of 101. So he's been average, I would say, to say the least. But at home, he's just been so dominant. Edwin Diaz, Jared, if the Mets, you know, continue, and we're getting closer to the postseason here, if they do make the playoffs, you know, should he be the closer going into the postseason?
Yeah, and the reason I'll point to that is I'll go back to that World Baseball Classic a few years ago when I believe he was playing for the DR against the Netherlands. And he came in a closing effort in a tie game, and pretty much every time he's been in that situation, predominantly in the World Baseball Classic, because obviously the Mets and the Mariners teams he's been on really haven't been close. So I think he's got that clutch gene. He just hasn't been able to show it. So I would trot him out there, especially if you're at home. And away, maybe you could trot somebody else out there and try to rest him up for that home stretch. But if we're at Citi Field and it's tie game in the ninth and we need to get three outs now, Diaz on the mound.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think Diaz has pitched pretty well this year for the most part. He's had a lot more home appearances than he has on the road. So we'll see what happens going forward. Mike Puma of the New York Post posted something interesting today on Twitter. He said that the Mets probably need to go 18-6 down this final stretch of games, Liam, to make the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they may need even more wins than that.
Really?
Because, yeah, they may need to go 20-4 and 19-5 because, look, don't forget that
20-4 is hard to do.
It is hard to do, especially with this schedule, with series coming up against the Yankees and the Cardinals. But remember, the team that the Mets are chasing are not only the Atlanta Braves. They're chasing the Philadelphia Phillies as well. And the Phillies have the easiest schedule of any team in the National League East towards the end of the year. So you need to win as many games as you possibly can. If the Mets do anything less than sweeping the Marlins at the start of this three-game series tonight and win 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, I think they're toast.
Yeah, I mean, I got bad news for you. If you think the Mets need to go 18-6, they have 11 games on the road in the remainder of the September month. So if you think they got to get 18 wins and they have 11 games on the road, then it's looking like a tough spot with those Edwin Diaz numbers, and it's not a great spot. And I think it's kind of a weird spot right now. In early September, the Mets are 4.5 out of the wild card. They're so close yet so far right now, and they're gonna have to win a lot more games. They're gonna have to go out there. And I think the objective really shouldn't be 18-6 long run. It should be win the series we're playing right now. You either need to win the series or sweep. If they get swept or if they lose a series, I think their season's just about done.
The big thing to remember as well is that we are in the NL East. And the NL East over the years has been anything but stable. While I'm looking at the Atlanta Braves schedule right now, while they have a fairly easy schedule coming up against Washington, Miami, and the Rockies, they've got the Giants in San Diego, the Phillies, and the Mets coming up at the end of the year, pretty much in close succession, split up by a series with Arizona. I mean, the situation we're looking at right now could change. The Mets could lose two of three in Miami, and depending on what the Braves and Phillies do, could still be in it. I agree that the Mets are probably toast if they can't take at least two out of three here in Miami, but with how the NL East has been and some of the bad luck that's hit the Braves this year, I mean, it is by no means a set-and-done deal if they struggle a little bit here.
And I got a feeling I know who's calling in here as we're getting a phone call. Hello, you're on the air with Aaron, Joey, Jared, and Liam.
And it is Jake, boys.
Hey, Jake, how are you? How's the trip back from Warrensburg, New York, coming along?
Well, I kind of just left, but I figured I had to call now because I take the back way, so I don't have any service.
Right. Oh, yes, that's right.
So I'm doing a loop around town and then calling in and seeing what you boys are up to.
Have you listened to any part of the show today?
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole thing. I hear we're talking Braves schedule.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, really, NL East schedule.
Yeah. What do you think? 18-6 for the Mets to make the playoffs, or do they have to do better or worse?
I think they have to do better because I think that the Braves have really reaped the benefits of playing against these lower two teams in the Nationals, Marlins. I mean, they only took two from the Rockies, but they lost the other two games by one run. So they could have been that could have been a flip flop of anything. I see us winning out of those, let's see, let me count, 6-10 games that we're playing against these teams. I think the Braves are going to win at least 8 of them.
That's quite the bold statement. My thing is, I think the division is won with 85, 86 wins. For the Mets to get to 85 wins, 16-8. That's very doable, especially heading into the series against the Marlins. If the Yankees continue to struggle, especially against the series against them. And I think they got one or two more series with the Marlins. I think they got to go 16-8, and I think they'll get it done, especially with the Phillies' tough schedule coming up as well. And the Braves, with no Ronald Acuna, Jake, eventually the offense has to, you know, be dead at some point, right?
No, I don't think so. Trade acquisitions in Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, they are playing incredible right now. Jorge Soler looks like a brand new player after he leaves Kansas City, and I guess that's what the Royals do to you. You get to a new organization and you play like an all-star. Adam Duvall happens to be back to the Braves, and then you have guys like, you know, Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, Travis d'Arnaud that just continue to rake. Austin Riley is an MVP candidate, and for the first time,
he's been saying that all year, Liam. Liam just audibly laughed when you said Austin Riley is an MVP candidate.
He's got a 916 OPS and 5 WAR.
He's been really hot. I don't know if you're going to put him in the MVP conversation, but he's been really good.
Jake has been saying this all year, the entire season.
He has better numbers than anybody in the NL.
Jake, is Austin Riley the best hitter on the Atlanta Braves?
Right now, yes. I would agree.
I
mean, if you're going to look overall, no, it's going to be Freddie Freeman and it's going to be Ozzie Albies. But for the second time in MLB history, all of the Braves infielders have over 25 home runs and 70 RBIs. It's the first time since 2006 the Marlins did it, and that's the only other time in MLB history.
Well, we'll see what happens down the stretch with the Braves, Mets, and Phillies. We are going to have to go to break. Jake, want to thank you for calling in, bro. Have a safe drive home.
Yes, I'll see you guys real soon.
All right.
See you, Jake.
Bye, Jake.
See you, Jake.
Peace out.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to New York Yankees, a team that's actually 20 games over 500 and trying to make the playoffs rather than a 500 team trying to make the playoffs. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here. No, this is not video game music. It's an actual song. I heard this playing in the rotation the other day while I was driving up to come into the studio, and this song was playing. It's called Old World, and it's by a band called Crying. What do you guys think?
Is the full name of the song Old Super Mario World?
Yeah.
Because that's what it reminds me of.
It's called Old World, and it's spelled with an E. Old is spelled with an E.
These effects are too overboard. I can't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Usually I'm into like the stuff that's off the wall, trying something new, but this is too much.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
It's very retro. It's Mario Kart. It's Mario Kart music.
I wonder. Yeah, we should look up more information.
It's inspired.
About the song. But the alternative music coming your way. Latin and I play a lot of Olivia Rodrigo, though, and J Biebs and Dua Lipa on the show. But it's not every once in a while. got to get in a little bit of different stuff there. That was Old World by Crying. And it is Sports Hour here on this Tuesday. Aaron Valentino alongside Jared Wakefield, Liam Gottmer, and Joey Pulaski. Brandon Ladd, he is on his way home to Queensbury as we speak. And I have the guys fill in today for the Sports Board edition of Sports Hour. Liam, that's going to be the name of today's pod. Sports Hour, episode 121, the Sports Board edition.
Sounds good.
So expect that coming your way a little bit later. All right, before we get to NFL trivia a little bit later in the show, it is NFL week one, so we're trying to do an NFL segment every day here on Sports Hour heading into the weekend. But first, we got to get to New York Yankees, who have lost three straight games. They lost 8-0 in yesterday's ballgame, still just a half a game up on the Boston Red Sox. It just kind of goes to show, though, in all seriousness, how much better the AL is than the NL, Joey, because the Mets, you know, have just about as good a chance, a little bit less than the chance of the Yankees, but both teams are in a playoff race. The Mets are 69-69, which is nice, but the Yankees are 20 games over 500.
No, the AL is unbelievable. The amount of deep teams, and there's a lot of great pitching, great hitting, and it's really just unbelievable, especially now getting into September, the amount of teams in the playoff hunt that are within 5 or 6 games of the wild card as well. But now these Yankees really need to figure it out. So, I mean, since that 13-game win streak, we've dropped the series to the Angels, dropped the series to the Baltimore Orioles, who I saw, I believe it was the first game, going into the first game of this series, we're 7-9 against them on the year. So there's a couple series against Baltimore. Well, now there's one remaining. But there's some games left against Baltimore, and it feels like those should be automatic wins. Just dropped the series against them. Part of that, I think, is on Aaron Boone and the managing. I don't know why Andrew Heaney's going into that baseball game. And an 8-7 loss, it's unexcusable. It's like they're throwing in the towel and on a series, on the rubber match game of that series. And now after the loss against the Blue Jays yesterday where we got shut out, we're going to have to face Steven Matz, Alek Manoah, who's sneaky really good, and Jose Berríos. So it's three really solid pitchers for the Blue Jays coming up against the Bronx Bombers.
Yeah, definitely. And Alek Manoah is probably one of the best rookie pitchers, not only in the American League, but in the entirety of baseball. He has been that good. And he's kind of an underrated name because not a lot of people really talk about him. But Yankees fans will definitely have a chance to see him in that series. But yeah, going back to what you said, Joey, since the huge winning streak, the Yankees, what, they split with Oakland, they lost to the Angels, they lost to the Orioles, and now they lost the first game to the Blue Jays. It just can't happen. And they need a bounce back game tonight against Steven Matz. Luckily, the Yankees hit lefties relatively well. And I just wanted to address one thing you mentioned before about the record the Yankees have against the Orioles. They're 9-7, you said?
I believe it was 7-9.
Seven and nine
into the Baltimore series.
Well, one stat I do know is that the Tampa Bay Rays are 18-1 against the Baltimore Orioles.
That's the difference.
And that's the difference right there. It just goes to show you, you have to beat the lower division teams if you want to win the division. And that's why the Rays are up and the Yankees are fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. I'll be honest, I haven't gotten a chance to watch a lot of AL baseball because I've been on the road all summer. But it seemed like the Yankees, despite being a well-oiled machine, just kind of are suffering from issues system-wise. I mean, it honestly reminds me of like what the Mets should be doing, where they've had issues, because we clown on the Mets for having upper-level management issues, but boy, has the Yankees front office and management staff just been a complete nightmare the past couple of years. I mean, people complained about Girardi quite a bit, but I think I take Girardi back over Boone.
Boone is so bad. To this day, I will never understand. Like, the Yankees were supposed to be rebuilding in 2017, and they went to the ALCS. They were a Garrett Cole away from going to the World Series in 2017, and they fired Joe Girardi. It's honestly, Liam, it's baffling to me that they fired Joe Girardi and hired Aaron Boone, who is awful. Can't stand the dude.
Yeah, certainly at the time, Joe Girardi.
He's a disgrace to the Aaron name.
Yeah, that's certainly strong words by your host, Aaron Valentino, excuse me. But yeah, definitely. I think if the Yankees ended up having Joe Girardi, an experienced manager who has obviously been in big game situations, maybe they would have had more luck since 2017. Personally, I'm not on the same boat as you are, Aaron. I do like Aaron Boone. I think he is a decent manager. Is he the manager to bring the Yankees to the World Series? That's a question that can be debated. But you know what? He's a former Yankee. He has history with the team, and he stands up for his players like no other manager in Major League Baseball does. But you know what I do know? one person on this panel certainly loves Aaron Boone, and that's Joey Palatsky.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm on Liam's side
what?
Here.
What? You like Aaron Boone?
I think he definitely has. He definitely has issues managing the bullpen. But with the amount of talent on this baseball team, they need a manager who's just going to stick up for the guys, and that's what Boone does.
I like Aaron Boone because he makes the Yankees look like a mess, and I love it.
Boone's not afraid to let the umpire know what he's thinking. That's exactly what this baseball team needs.
Yeah, Aaron, you need a manager that's going to stick
in
the
I could do that. Yeah, One of us could go there and be like, that's a terrible call.
Yeah, run me out there. I'll stick up for my guys every night.
Aaron, let me put it this way. I think Aaron Boone and Luis Rojas are pretty much a wash. I think they're very similar managers in that way.
They both
can't manage the bullpen, and they both get on the umpires.
Rojas, to me, at times, have made decisions where it's like 5D chess, where it's like, wow, how did he even do that? Mm-hmm. But the simple things, he gets wrong. Aaron Boone gets everything wrong in my eyes. There have just been so many games where it seems like Aaron Boone has made the wrong decision and the Yankees have suffered because of it.
I would like to know one thing that we don't know how much with the managers at this point is how much of this is coming from the front office. We know with the old Mets front office, a lot of it was coming from BVW and everybody else, which kind of explains why the team was making dumb decisions.
I mean, that's the great debate of today. How much is coming from the front office? But at the same time, you know, this is a team that should have been to the World Series a bunch of times, and Aaron Boone has not done that yet, Joey.
I think they got a decent shot to make it this year. I agree. He's only been at the helm for, what, three, four years at this point?
Yes.
You got to give him a little bit of time. I mean, now we're just now bringing in. I mean, we just now got Gerrit Cole a couple seasons ago. We, you know, probably should have got the job done in that Game 5 against the Rays last year, but we're going to move on from that. I'm definitely over that loss, but... I still think the Yankees got a really good shot bringing Gallo and Rizzo. I think the main issue in this Yankee spot was the left-handed power hitting, and they just brought in Rizzo and Gallo, and I think this is a team, if Joey Gallo can get his batting average with the Yankees over 200 and maybe just figure it out at the plate.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. He's
sitting about 138 with the Yankees, but his power numbers are there. Yeah. Every time he comes up to the plate, I mean, it's about 1 through 5, 1 through 6 in this lineup. Any guy can hit a ball 450 feet.
And, you know, one thing about Joey Gallo that a lot of people fail to mention is just how good he is defensively.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best defensive outfielders in the entire American League. A lot of people thought of Joey Gallo as this guy who can only play first base. You know, they're throwing him out there in right field. No, he's got an incredible arm and great athleticism, especially in that short porch and right.
Stanton made a diving play the other night, too. Ever since Giancarlo Stanton.
Wow, and he didn't break every single bone in his body when he did that?
Ever since Giancarlo Stanton's been playing the outfield for the Yankees, he's been hitting extremely well. Judge has been hot over the past 20-25 games.
Some guys need that. Some guys need to be on.
I mean, they got to get out there.
The problem is, again, Giancarlo Stanton is literally made of the cheapest glass possible.
That's been some of the problem with the Yankees outfield lately. Like it got Judge a little bit last year and for the past couple of years as well, where it's like having a really nice Lego model. It's really nice to look at, and it's great when it's together, but like you hit it wrong and it's going all over the floor and shattering into a million pieces and ruins your day, maybe your month.
All I'm saying, all three of you guys are Mets fans here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's rare that the Mets fans outnumber the Yankee fans.
September 10th, 11th, 12th, 3-game set.
Yeah.
I say we put a little friendly wager on it.
Well, listen, I'll say this. Lad and I were talking about this yesterday. What a great job for Major League Baseball to schedule these two teams, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I mean, both of these teams, you know, helped a lot of people through a very difficult time. Mike Piazza, obviously, with one of the most famous home runs, one of the most famous plays in all of sports, out with this home run, and then the Yankees making that unbelievable 2001 World Series run, which unfortunately Luis Gonzalez stabbed Yankee fans in the back there with his little bloop over short. But yeah, it's going to be a really fun weekend. I'm actually really excited to see what they do for pregame festivities and things like that.
Yeah, I just looked up Yankees Mets 9/11 because I wanted to see if there are any festivities. Mike Piazza is going to be at that game.
Yeah, he'll be at the game. I think he's throwing out the first pitch on 9/11 on the Saturday game, I think that is.
Yeah, no, he has to be there.
Yeah, he'll be there. He'll probably be throwing out I mean, he just played such an important role. I'm sure some Yankees, some 2001 Yankees will be there as well. I'm really excited to see what they do for that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's week one of the NFL. It kicks off Thursday between the Cowboys and that god-awful of a human being, Tom Brady, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got some NFL trivia for the guys coming your way right after this. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I was waiting for the beat to drop. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. It is week one of the NFL season. It kicks off Thursday night between that god-awful of a human being, Tom Brady, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, America's most hated team, as I like to call them. Aaron Valentino, Jared Wakefield, and Liam Gottemer, Joey Palatsky as well, joining me today. Now, last time Joey was here, we had some god-awful trivia between him and Brandon Ladd. I was going to bring Liam, you know, remember that quiz that Lurch made us take at the beginning?
Yep.
So I was going to bring that and ask them those questions to see how many they knew, and then I forgot to bring it. So I downloaded this sports trivia app, and it was all just questions about various 2020 seasons. It was awful.
One of the questions was, I think it was like two different NHL guys. It was two random guys that who had more goals.
Nobody ever heard of.
Could remember the name. I could have taken a crack.
I couldn't
at
pronounce
it.
The name.
There were no vowels in their names.
No.
It was a lot of how many wins did the Boston Bruins have in 2020? It was like they had four options. It was a mess.
No, it was an absolute disaster. We called it a wash.
Swinging and missing.
Yes. So I actually have some real trivia questions for you if my computer would let me open them. That's being pretty rude right now, if I'm being completely honest.
Might have to re-download the app.
But, yes. Oh, God, that would be terrible. There we go. I do have some actual trivia questions for you guys that I looked up. I think they're pretty good. I think you guys will know most of them. So what we're going to do is I'll ask the question. We'll just go around the room here and see who gets it right. All right. So first question from you guys. This is one not from the internet. This is one that I just know by myself, and I want to see if you guys know this.
So is Jared taking it? We're just going around, or?
Yeah, you can. I'll start. I was going to start with you.
Okay.
All right. Who is the only team in NFL history to lead in total offense and total defense?
Ooh. Does it have to be a year? Like, do I have to give the year too, or just the team?
Give the team if you know the year. That would be very impressive.
Can I get a hint? Like around what decade we're talking?
It's sort of recent.
There's no shot at that Denver Broncos team, was it? I'm gonna say it. Denver Broncos, the team that won that Super Bowl against the Panthers.
Okay.
You know what? We talked about Tom Brady coming back from break. How about the New England Patriots?
All right.
I
actually wrote this question with you in mind, Jared.
I'm gonna guess it was the '90s Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons.
No, it was not. And you know who it was? It was the 2010 San Diego Chargers.
Really?
That's so obscure.
With Danny and Tomlinson?
And you know why I asked this question with you in mind, Jared? Because John Boyce.
Oh, he did the Dorktown on the 2010 San Diego Chargers. Yes. They did nothing in the playoffs.
Yes. And this team is the only team in NFL history to lead in total offense and total defense. Didn't go to the Super Bowl. Didn't win a playoff game. Didn't make the playoffs. They went 9-7.
That's the most Chargers thing I've ever heard.
Think about that. Really, really think about how hard that is to do.
I don't notice. I'm looking at this roster right now. I was curious. There's not a whole lot of names on here. I know Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers had like one of his best seasons ever.
Antonio Gates.
Yes, and Antonio Gates, and then LT, obviously. And the defense was great as well.
LT's not even on here. 2010?
Oh, is he not?
Yeah, well, might have been a little post.
Let me tell you right now. When you go home, type into YouTube, Secret Base San Diego Chargers, and watch that video because your mind will be blown. Any John Boyce video in general, your mind will be blown. History of the Atlanta Falcons, Part 7,
came out today.
Yes, I'm going to go home and watch that immediately. I'm absolutely so excited for it. All right, next question. You all should get this one. What team was originally named the New York Titans?
The Tennessee Titans.
I'll go with the Tennessee Titans, too.
I don't think it's Tennessee because I know where Tennessee came from. I am going to go with the Jets.
Yes, the New York Jets used to be before they were the Jets.
Because the Titans were the Oilers. They were the Houston Oilers, and they moved to Tennessee.
I was going to say, it's either the Titans, Giants, Jets, or Bills. There were four options.
The Jets used to have the New York Titans had the dope uniforms with the navy blue and gold. They looked like Notre Dame uniforms. They're awesome.
Liam, sorry for leading you astray.
No, that's all right. No worries. I was going to go Titans either way, but Jets was my second choice, if that's any consolation.
1-0 right now. Jared's up.
Jared, we'll start with you. Who holds the best rookie passer rating in NFL history?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I know. It's a good question, isn't it?
Because there's a lot of guys, I would say, that would have a really good passer rating as a rookie. I'm going to go with Steve Young.
Okay.
I'll go with Peyton Manning.
That's a good answer.
I was thinking Peyton Manning. I'm going to go John Elway.
Dak Prescott.
What?
Wow.
See, here's the thing about Dak that's so funny. He does not pass the eye test at all. No. Does not. You watch this man play, and it's like, how in the world is he an NFL quarterback? Dak Prescott is like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL statistically. The dude is ridiculous. His pass rating is like normally over 100. He was like, before his ankle exploded, he was going to go throw for 6,000 yards. Think
that's
about
impressive.
That. Nobody really? In NFL history has ever
that's,
done that.
That's
super
wild.
Super easy guy to root for, too, between his leg injury and yes. his mom's stuff and his family, and very
it's,
easy guy to root
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he plays for the Cowboys, but that being said, Dak
let's
Prescott,
not,
he's...
Let's not go too hard on the Cowboys here.
Yeah,
childhood Cowboys fan here.
Oh, I didn't know... Oh, yes, I did know that,
Cowboy, actually. Cowboys and Bills.
Yes, but it is in fact, Dak Prescott. Who was the first professional quarterback? This is really hard. The first professional quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards in a season.
Me and Liam still don't even have a point yet. We're going super hard questions. Oh, geez.
This is probably the hardest question on here.
Jared, you want to start it?
Can I get like a time frame?
I don't even know what year he played. So I just saw the answer when I looked this up. Oh. And I was like, I have to put it.
So it's not. It can't be a recent guy, though.
Yeah. It's not recent.
Absolutely okay. not that's recent. Your clue. So I'm going to start to think like early 70s. Terry Bradshaw.
That's a pretty good answer. Okay.
I'll go John Elway.
I was going to go John Elway. I'm going to think random quarterback. I just can't think of literally any quarterbacks right now. You know, I'm going to go John Elway too.
The answer? Warren Moon.
Warren Moon.
I thought you said these questions were easy.
I
Aaron.
Know who that is. Okay.
That one is really hard.
I recognize that name. So
yeah.
Like,
he's a Hall of Famer.
I would never have said Warren
yeah.
Moon, though.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He played for, I don't even know what team he played for. Let's see. Passing up 49,000 passing yards, a quarterback, career quarterback rating of 80 something. Grew up in Los Angeles, California. He played for. Oh, no, that's college. I'm looking to see what team he played for. Houston, Minnesota, Seattle, and Kansas City he played for.
Yeah, he kind of traveled all over.
Yeah. All right. Who is the only team in NFL history to play in both the AFC and the NFC Championship, Joey?
I'm going to say the Colts.
The Colts.
The Colts.
That's okay.
I'll go with the Broncos.
Is it Kansas City?
It's the Seattle Seahawks. In 1983, they went to the AFC Championship.
Right, they did.
And then there was a bunch of years, obviously, in the NFC with Russell Wilson, where they've gone to the NFC Championship.
I was just thinking teams that switch locations.
Yeah.
I got no idea. I feel my confidence with NFL trivia is taking a big shot right now. I was confident going into this. And
most of these were from our website. This one... I'm sorry, Liam and Joey. Jared is going to get this answer correct. That's why he's going to go last. Is a final score of 6-1 in the NFL possible?
Oh, we're going scoregami stuff. 6-1? No, because you can't get 1 point.
Liam?
Yeah, I'm going to say no. You can get three. I'm going to say no.
It is because there's a defensive 1 point safety
yes.
in the NFL rulebook.
Yes.
Really?
Defensive 1 point okay, safety.
So how do you two know this?
Scoregami.
The Scoregami video.
Y'all kept turning it off on the TV.
Yeah, y'all kept turning it off. They explained it in the SC feature, Joey. So, Liam, for those of you who don't know, Scoregami is the art of making NFL scores that have never happened before. It's a fascinating concept. There's a whole like Twitter account dedicated to there's something called the Scoregami board. Where you can see all the scores in NFL history that have happened before, and all the spots that are lit up in green are scores that have happened. All the spots that are lit up in white have never happened. And then there's a black part of the scoreboard, which are scores that are not possible. A score of 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, and 7-1, not possible. But in between 5-1 and 7-1. The box is white because a score of 6-1 is possible in the
Wait,
NFL.
There's
seven to one.
There's one way that the 1 point safety is possible. It's basically on the extra point attempt, the ball gets loose, it's fumbled, it's taken down for
99 yards.
Yeah, for the 1 point conversion, it's fumbled in the end zone, and the team kicking recovers it in their own end zone and gets put down. That is a 1 point safety.
Okay, so they would not.
Has
get
that
the
ever
extra
happened? Has that ever happened in history of the NFL?
Like, no,
it happened in college football once.
Yeah, the one.
Really?
Yeah, 1 point. The 1 point safety. State they have than college football. And actually, fairly recently, it happened.
It's like
15? It happened in like the early like 2010s.
Yeah, I'm going to look up a video. Keep going, but I'm going to look up a video.
There is a video of it. I'm sure if you type in 1 point safety, it'll come up.
So if you get 6-1 in your Super Bowl pools, the dream's
that
not
dead. That
would
be the
yet.
Ultimate score.
Oregon versus Kansas State, 2013.
Yeah, it was actually like a big game. It was not like just some random D3 game.
Yeah.
JUCO, whatever.
All right.
Jeez.
What is Chad Ochocinco's original name, Jared?
Chad Johnson.
Yeah, I think Chad Johnson.
Yeah, it's Chad Johnson.
It is Chad Johnson. Very good, guys. Very good.
Liam, we're on the board, baby.
Yeah, we made it. You know, didn't think we were going to get there, but we did. Thanks, Jared.
What team originally drafted Brett Favre, Joey?
Ooh. I think it wouldn't be the Vikings because that's too obvious, but I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Yeah, same thing with Joey. I don't know if it's going to be the Packers, but I'll go Green Bay.
Atlanta Falcons.
It was the Atlanta Falcons.
Traded him away after a year to Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, he was on the team for a year. I thought they traded him like immediately.
They drafted him. He was on the team for a year because it was in the Falcons documentary. And they traded him away just because
there
was the coaching staff and all that, and they just didn't get along. So they shipped him off for like nothing.
Remember that time Brett Favre was a Jet?
Yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah, I know. Remember Tim Tebow was also a Jet?
And the Met.
Michael, and a Met. Michael Vick was a New York Jet for a little bit. It's so weird, right?
Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, number 4, Oregon versus number 5, Kansas State. That was one of the most absurd plays I've watched in my life.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
So you said,
You said Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, and I had no idea what you're talking about for a moment. I'm like,
he's talking about that.
You're reading off the dinner menu, Joey?
I thought you guys meant that if they kick the PAT here, like facing forward, you got to go back 99 yards.
The college football one is different than the NFL one.
So that's 1 point.
Yes. So
I feel like that should be a 2 point conversion.
It's not. It's very complicated. It's so like stupid. It's just such a stupid.
It is like it's reading the rules with the magnifying glass.
Yeah. Well, it's like the dumbest rule of all time.
Well, 1 point safety. Props to these referees for knowing that.
Yeah. No. Right? Isn't that so
these
weird?
Refs and umpires and whatever it is.
They trained for that.
They deserve
day.
A lot more credit than we give them.
Oh. Absolutely. They absolutely do. What did you guys think of the trivia questions?
Good.
Better than the last time, right, Joey?
Yeah. It was a lot neater. Solid questions. I'm going to put it on myself for not being as smart with NFL trivia as I thought I was. But
yeah. The San Diego Chargers one is actually fascinating. Like I watched that video last night, and I was like, oh, that'll be a good trivia question for the guys tomorrow.
How did I win?
Yeah, well, I
don't watch football.
Most of my obscure football knowledge does come from John Boyce. I won't lie about that.
That's where almost all of my football knowledge comes from.
Jared was the least confident one coming into this.
Yeah, I know. But Jared, three to one.
As soon as he said, who drafted Brett Favre first? I'm like, yep, I know this.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons.
Jared just beat me.
In all
Liam
seriousness,
combined.
Though, guys, like,
impressive.
You guys know SB Nation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their video department is now called Secret Base. And they do a lot of cool stuff. Like, not just John Boyce. Like, they did a documentary on the Cavs that wasn't done by John Boyce, and it was fascinating. Like, it's a 3-part series on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was so good. It was so awesome. The one you guys like the most, though, the Seattle Mariners documentary is awesome. That's a 6-part series. The Atlanta Falcons one that they're doing right now, and they're finishing up today, that's a 7-part series.
It's just, like, on the history of the teams?
Yeah, but they only pick teams that are so obscure. Mm. Like, they would never do one on the Yankees.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
because everybody has.
I would strongly suggest if you don't watch the whole thing, watch the first episode of the Mariners, because that is like a boom.
Yeah, the first, the Seattle Mariners, not to, you know, really spoil anything, there's a lot more detail that goes in the episode, but the Seattle Mariners, Ichiro, Ken Griffey Jr., all that great history that we have with them, all started because of a serial arsonist in the 30s.
Yep.
Just like that, I'm sold.
Yeah. Because
they burned the field down. Isn't that fascinating?
Like, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm watching
no spoilers,
later.
No spoilers. I'm going to go home and watch
that's
it.
On YouTube. Actually,
yeah,
that's on YouTube, Aaron?
Yeah. Just look up Secret Base Mariners. There is one that they do have a supercut version that's 3 hours and 40 minutes long, but they do have them in individual episodes as well.
Okay, awesome.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, and we'll get out of here. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Chains in school, I say.
Welcome back to Sports Hour. Just a couple minutes left here. Aaron Valentino, Jared Wakefield, Joey Palatsky, Liam Gottemer for the Sports Sport Edition. Sports Hour, no Brandon Ladd today. He's off to Queensbury. Let's get to the local games before we wrap up. First up, New York Mets taking on the Miami Marlins at 6:40 tonight. It'll be Carlos Carrasco versus Edward Cabrera for the Miami Marlins. And for the Yankees at 7:05, it'll be the Mets' old friend Steven Matz, who comes into this one with a 10-7 record and a 3.80 ERA. For the Yankees, they're breathing a sigh of relief. Garrett Cole on the mound for them tonight, 14-6 with a 2.73 ERA. Guys, thanks for joining the show. Did you guys have fun?
Always a great time.
Had a ton of fun.
Always a good time here on Sports Hour. We've got live sports for you tomorrow over on Stream 2. We got men's soccer tomorrow, right? It's not women's soccer.
Yeah.
Men's soccer versus Hamilton, who apparently is ranked. But the website didn't tell me that. So, like, I don't know what ranking they are. But according to Mike Gross, they are ranked. So that'll be a good one. Men's soccer undefeated, 1-0-2 on the season, looking for their second win of the year.
Wow.
Yep.
They are ranked 47 in the nation, D3 soccer.
47 in the nation. I thought it was top 25.
Still impressive, though.
Well, right. I think they were. I think, like, another poll, like, hasn't come out yet that, like, everybody looks at and follows for Division III soccer. But Gross said the name of it yesterday, and I can't think of it off the top.
That's in, like, Utica, right?
Hamilton's out by Utica Way. I drove through it. I was going out to the Utica Rome Speedway this year, and I had to get McDonald's. So I had to drive all the way out and drove through Hamilton College. It's got this weird feel because it's, like, built on a hill, and it's very old schooly. So
it's their first game of the year tomorrow.
Yes, wow. It is opening day for them. And field hockey, who is legitimately 3-0 on the year, they can match their season win total from 2019 if they can get a win tomorrow against Sage College. That's going to be a good one. That's over on 6:30. So a doubleheader over on Stream 2 tomorrow. You are not going to want to miss it. I am not here tomorrow for Sports Hour, but Thursday we'll be back for the NFL preview. Jake Johnson will be joining us on that one. Maybe a couple of these guys will come back for it as well. Going to be an exciting episode on Thursday. You are not going to want to miss it. Guys, any final words before we exit the show today? Wow, nobody. All
Yankees
right.
Yankees are making the playoffs.
Well, as far as the Mets, just win. Win.
And that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Sports Hour. It was the Sports Board Edition. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Happy Rosh Hashanah to those who celebrate. We'll be back Thursday. See you on Stream 2 tomorrow.